Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Podcast Show number 172. The three of us were doing it quite early this week on a Tuesday.
Why not?
Me, myself and I and Andy Franks and Dan Silva.
Are you going to get it up tonight?
I'm going to do my best to get up tonight, which is Tuesday night.
You're going to put the show on afterwards?
Whee!
As if I'll get an erection. No, I'll certainly do my best. You might be listening to this Tuesday, Wednesday. You might be listening to this in 6 months' time. Like the Autobots on Audioboo who constantly comment on our shows from about 3 years ago. Things like, that's amazing. And wow. They're clearly just...
Well, at least we're getting some feedback.
Yeah, albeit from a computer that isn't actually listening to the show. But hey, all feedback's good feedback.
Absolutely.
Not necessarily.
No, well...
Goes to show that changing the format of the show really is pointless as well. You know, just keep it consistent and...
More format.
Yeah. It's very true.
Yeah. That wasn't even a gag.
No.
I'm genuinely asking the question.
Well, there is actually no format, yeah.
Well, I think format to start with, we look at the weekend and it must be I know the other week there was a record amount of goals for the first time in years in a Premier League weekend. This weekend must have been pretty close because there were a lot of goals. I mean, obviously, your lot
especially
last night, 5-1,
yeah.
United won 4-0,
yeah.
City won 4-1, Palace won 3-0.
Everton 3-0.
Yeah, a couple of people moving table since we've sat down.
Well,
you know. But yeah, it was a really...
Fuck 'em.
Well, yeah, Everton, that's got to be the result of the weekend.
Oh, I don't know about that. I think a Palace fan and a Fulham fan would argue that their results were...
I think in terms of what it meant and in terms of just the pure... I didn't see... I mean, though Arsenal have been bad.
Palace, we're kind of thinking Palace are now safe.
I'm looking at the table and we're kind of thinking
Fulham are fucked. Anyway. In theory. So I suppose I would... Just dissecting what you said, I would... be first to jump down Mike's throat as well and say, how dare you, what about Fulham and Palace? But I suppose if you just dissect it in that tiny little way, probably those 3 points potentially meant more for Everton from deciding the Champions League places, because I think Fulham are already fucked and I think Palace
is... It was definitely a bad set of results for Sunderland.
I actually think Fulham are going to survive.
Yeah.
But that's another
argument. I do as well.
A little bit. Now I think they will.
Who fancies the run in that Norwich have got?
Or Sunderland.
Well, but Sunderland... I think Sunderland and Cardiff, we can safely say... I will say that those two will go down.
The one thing that is in Sunderland's favour is they've still got to play West Brom. They've still got to play Fulham, I think.
Yeah, but they've still got to play City. And
they've still got to play City, Chelsea, United Everton. But they've
almost
also got,
as bad as Norwich.
They've also got three games against other teams that are down there. So if you pick up points off them and they drop points, all of a sudden the gap closes a lot quicker. But Fulham, I think because of Norwich's running, and I think Fulham's relatively easy running, I think they've got a couple of tough games, but relatively easy.
So if you're a Norwich fan, are you pleased that Hewton's been given the old...
That's really... I'd be really interested to have the point of view of an Norwich fan, sat here right now.
I'd be really interested to find an Norwich fan.
Because there's two arguments here.
My granddad was an Norwich fan. He's dead now. Been dead for 20 years, so I doubt he's got an opinion on it. But
there's two sides of the coin here, aren't there? It's... You look at the last five games and you think, well, Hughton's done relatively little all season, and you think, well, if you don't want him to take the club into the Championship next season, then you give someone else a chance to try and keep them up.
18 wins out of 71 games for Hughton.
It's not great, is it?
That's a poor record.
And that's the thing, is do you give someone else a chance to rectify the situation, because on current form, Chris Hughton's Norwich aren't going to get a result?
Norwich
have not got a good team.
They've got Ricky Van Wolfe,
who can't score.
They've got some decent British players who would get into another Premier League squad of that level. They could get into the first team, but what I'm saying is, when you've got a full team of those players and nothing to back it up, because, I mean, if they've got John Muddy's a good goalkeeper, Yeah. Russell Martin's done very well for the last few years at right back. And
but he's average.
But he went to school with my missus, so I'll forgive him that.
Who's the lad who scored that goal? Tetti.
No, he didn't. My missus said she wishes she'd gone for him instead of me. But
oh, bitch.
No, she's only joking. She wishes she'd gone for anyone apart from
me. Remember that on your stag do, Michael.
God. If anyone's in Bristol,
you mean Tetti's had that one shot? I've never heard of him before or since. Snodgrass. I like Snodgrass.
Yeah. Snodgrass is a good player. Gary Hooper's an alright player, but he's had a bit. He had a decent patch mid season, but.
Yeah. And Van Wolfswinkel was supposed to be, you know.
Elamander's rubbish.
Elamander, what? Yeah.
He had a good spell at Bolton for about 3 weeks, and people
I think had quite a good season.
He had half a season. He's a luxury player.
Anyway, so but we've basically gone around in circle that they've got a shit team, Norwich. Yeah. And I think they've done.
And Hughton's assembled it as well, isn't he?
Yeah, but he's done all right. I think he's done all right with a shit team.
Well,
he's done okay, but I mean. What do you wish for as a Norwich fan? You've got to be careful what you wish for.
It was really interesting to read a couple of articles recently about football supporters and about, you know, the difference in opinion between different clubs' supporters.
Yeah.
And like that. And it's like, obviously, the mentality of whether you're someone that's going for the Premier League, or someone that's going for the Champions League, or someone that's going for Europe, or someone that's just happy at mid-table. Someone like a West Ham.
What
are someone like a West Ham or a Newcastle, for example, like, who are pretty much never going to get relegated in the.
But both of them have gone down in the last 5 years.
No, okay, in the current scheme of things, they're never really going to go. If they're really, really lucky, they might be able to push for a time. Then you've got the teams where you're scrapping for relegation. Then you go into the Championship. Then you go to teams that are trying to get promotion. There's almost not the same feeling for two fans. For two different football fans.
Well, completely, because then every club has their own culture and their own history and beliefs. So I would say.
And then it's the attitude of those supporters and the clubs.
Say, I agree on the culture, just said.
I'm not sure a lot of people like this point from either camp. But as a United fan, United and Liverpool fans are very similar in their outlook, in the traditions of the clubs, the success of them in the past, the tragedies they've had in the past, the fact they're both working class northern cities that they're based in.
Style of football, traditionally,
obviously there have been times United at the moment and Liverpool pretty much from Houllier through to Brendan Rodgers coming in play quite negative football. Definitely there's a culture of bringing through young players. But you'll always have your opinions of United fans say, Liverpool, self-pity city. And some more horrible accusations that I won't repeat because they're not true. And likewise, Liverpool fans who might chant things to go back at that and say Manchester arrogant, all southern.
Bought their success, all of that.
Ultimately, there are similarities between clubs, but fans will never feel them.
No, and going back to West Ham, it's that how can a home set of fans boo West Ham and Sam Allardyce off the pitch after getting 3 points? And pretty much securing safety for another Premiership season.
Potentially still a top half finish.
But West Ham, as a culture,
that was how this article started.
West Ham, as a football club, you know, their culture is that if you look back, you know, they've always played some pretty exciting football. And, you know, up until probably when Harry Redknapp was there and he brought through people like Joe Cole and Rio Ferdinand, Defoe, Frank Lampard, and Defoe.
Yeah.
You know, up until, it's only up until sort of the millennium, really, where West Ham have not been producing that exciting brand of football that West Ham fans are used to seeing.
All the young talent.
I agree.
I mean, I would even argue for a period.
It's a strange one, isn't it? I mean, personally, if I was a West Ham fan, I'd feel pretty happy about having another season in the Premiership and build on the fact that you've got a massive stadium to move into.
I'll never understand someone that boos 3 points.
I won't.
But at the same time, playing devil's advocate here, if you're a West Ham fan, they're not a poor club, they're not a massively rich club either. They have a big fan base.
Olympic Park.
They have
help.
Spent a lot
they
of money. They're moving
a rich
into
club.
A big stadium, and yet they're not moving forward every year. They are being dragged back into the relegation. They shouldn't be in a relegation fight. They should be in a similar place to your Newcastles, your Aston Villas, maybe even you could argue your Evertons, although I think they're a slightly bigger club.
I agree with that, but the problem is that if you look at how the board backed Sam Allardyce, other than, look, they signed Andy Carroll, but on the transfer windows they realised that they needed other strikers and they never gave him the money to bring those people in.
Yeah.
And actually, if you look at the job that Allardyce has done with the squad,
they played nearly a whole season with
those strikers. With no strikers. Maiga up front, and he's not an out and out striker.
One thing you do ultimately have to remember as well, though, is if your face doesn't fit, it doesn't fit. And Sam Allardyce, in very few places, has been likeable.
It fits in very few places because it's massive.
It is massive. But he is arrogant. He does have a great sense of self-belief. Some could argue it's justified. I don't think he's ever done a bad job.
He's got a great formula for maintaining a football club in the Premiership.
Much like Pulis.
Tony Pulis. I've been clear in the past on which I dislike Stoke and Tony Pulis, but if he does not win Manager of the Year
for keeping Palace up,
To be fair, Brendan Rodgers has obviously done a splendid job this year. Pellegrini's
Martinez right up there.
Moyes and Sherwood will be up there. And Arsene as well. Only for the second half of the season.
I have to say, Martinez has been fantastic, and Pochettino, obviously Southampton have trailed off slightly, but. If Martinez secures that top four spot,
about Southampton. I actually got
poor Joey Rodriguez.
I actually got a little bit emotional watching the game on Saturday. We've all been there. I've never been on the cusp of going to a World Cup, but. You know, that injuries are fucking horrible, especially this sort of time. The young lad, and there's no guarantee that he would have been on the plane. And I think he was probably one of the
real touch and go.
Yeah, whether he would or not. I think he wouldn't have got on the plane. But, if anything, I'm not sure if that's any consolation to him.
But I'm sure he wasn't thinking like that. You would expect a professional.
Each game, he was playing himself into the squad more and more, wasn't he?
The look on his face when he landed there, and straight away, I tweeted it, and we were like, it was like, that's it, game over. And you could see his face. And I've sat there going like, fuck, I feel so gutted for the lad. I don't know him. I'm a Spurs fan. It was just sat there watching him. Obviously, like being I've played football all my life. I still play football. I know what it's like to be in that situation and to miss. On the tiniest little scale possible, I've got a knee problem at the moment. It's kept me out for the last month. My two clubs are on for league titles, cups. There's a very good chance that I'm going to miss the running, not be able to play.
They weren't in contention a month ago, though, were they?
No, they weren't.
Correlation.
But there's, and just the thought of me missing out on these crucial games for my team.
That's horrible.
It's horrible. It's a horrible thought for me, let alone, fuck me, maybe missing out on going to a World Cup.
I think we all had a similar feeling as well when Ashley Young went down with his injured wrist on
Saturday. Huge,
gutted.
But luckily he was in training today, so we can still make the play. Come on, Ashley.
Can I say, though, actually, and this is a really big point, cast yourselves back 4 years ago to when Chelsea won the Premiership and Wayne Rooney was chasing balls around, got frustrated and ended up getting injured. I think it was 4 years ago.
That was
2006.
And it wasn't, he was chasing balls around, it was a challenge that went in. But Chelsea ended up winning 3-0 and winning the title.
That's right.
I remember it, unfortunately.
But I'm worried about Rooney being thrown into this Champions League quarter final if he's not fit. We've got a fucking World Cup just round the corner.
But from a United fan's point of view, I'd much rather United win the Champions League than England even qualify for the World Cup.
Anyway,
you would have rather Tottenham win the Champions League than England qualify for the World Cup?
Qualify or win?
Qualify, win, whatever. I'd rather United win the Champions League than England won the World Cup.
You've got to know what you prefer.
England won the World Cup.
Yeah, I would as well.
I'm not sure I'd rather England won the World Cup. You fucking unpatriotic, horrible, northern bastard.
Can I just say nationalism's a sin?
Fucking hate you.
But no, I'd love England to win the World Cup and I would support England, but I support Manchester United out of choice. I'm English by birth.
They've won the Champions League.
Yeah, and it brought me tremendous joy. Twice.
You selfish fucking bastard.
I tell you what, there's nothing that would bring me more joy on a sporting achievement different level than England winning the World Cup.
There is nothing now that's going to give me more joy than Bayern Munich shitting all over you. So I'm coming on Thursday and whack my cock in your face and go, how much do you fucking like that?
You're going to do that anyway, win, lose or draw. No, and don't get me wrong, I don't think we will win the Champions League, and I think England won't win the World Cup. I'd love them too. I'd love both to happen. Just saying, I prefer
fuck
United
you,
to England.
You've just ruined this entire day for me. I thought I knew you. You're scum.
I think it's been clear all along. I'm not patriotic. I don't have any great.
You don't need to be patriotic to want England to win the World Cup.
I do want England to win the World Cup.
You bastard.
You're painting me all wrong.
No, you're painting yourself wrong.
I can't wait until fucking Germany win the World Cup and I'm coming in a Germany shirt.
I'm on 16th German.
England for you, the World Cup.
On my father's side. Now, what would be really funny though is if Arsenal win the FA Cup and then their trophy drought of how many years but
don't qualify
and get fifth.
Yeah.
No, Europa League.
What would be even better is if Arsenal finish fourth.
Man United win the
United win the Champions League and Arsenal lose the FA Cup.
I've got a funny feeling about United getting a result against the Germans.
I've got
a funny feeling.
They're
about
too efficient.
We can, but I don't think we will.
Not without the strongest team. Not without Mata. Not without Van Persie.
You know what? I mean, so many times this season, especially, results have just gone way away from what you think was going to happen. Maybe not so much in the Champions League.
Last night. You're right, 5-1, Spurs 1.
Certainly in our domestic league, you know, just when you think maybe someone's running away with the title.
It's a different kettle of fish.
I've got a funny feeling about United.
Here first, Andy Franks has a funny feeling about United.
I knew I'd turn you eventually.
I don't like the feeling, by the way. I fucking hate it.
The only thing we can take as a United fan from history is Liverpool doing it with Jimmy Traore and Vladimir Schmitzer in the team, and Chelsea doing it with
Vladimir
Schmitzer. And did you see the last two teams to have overturned a 2-goal deficit, that was in relation to Chelsea tonight. The last two teams to turn over a 2-goal deficit in the Champions League are Chelsea and Liverpool.
Yeah, Chelsea against Napoli and Liverpool
in the
final. Yeah.
They are the last two teams to have overturned a 2-goal deficit
in the knockout stage. In one game or across two games?
No, over a two.
Because United did over the other
two
week against Olympiakos.
No, in one game.
Oh, in one game. Oh, so yeah, going 2-0 down and then coming back?
Yes.
Right.
No.
No, it can't be because Chelsea didn't. Chelsea were 3-1 down off the first leg and then won 4-1 in the second.
Yeah.
So to do it over two legs, United, Chelsea and Liverpool have done.
Yeah, United need to be added to that.
But also, Liverpool playing Olympiacos in the group stage. But we're talking about Milan, aren't we? Yes, they did overturn Milan in the game. Well, maybe Chelsea did it in another game. They did
Barcelona
at one point.
They won 4-2 against Barcelona after losing 3-1.
Maybe they went 2-0 down that day. Can't remember, a long time ago.
Anyway, sorry about that, listeners.
Yeah.
We haven't really talked about any other results, have we?
Lower down the league, and Jim isn't here, but it was a great game at Gillingham.
I'm absolutely gutted as well, because I really thought that Gillingham were going to do us a favour and beat Rotherham.
I'm really
Brentford are now starting
I'm really
to really worry about
that
Rotherham.
I couldn't see Jim's face when Rotherham's Steve Evans overturned a 3-2 lead, was it, in the last 10 minutes with two late
five
goals?
Minutes to go. I thought it was five minutes to go.
Gillingham 3-2 up, Rotherham come back, win 4-3. Three Gills fans, one of which was not Jim, and I don't think the other two were either, were arrested for
he
doesn't know because they were in the family stand, but they were arrested for racially abusing Steve Evans.
I
think they were talking about the Scots.
Right because so, I was going to say he's a white middle aged male.
You were very careful about what you said there, weren't you?
I was just trying to think what he was.
Eddie Izzard, as Jim put it. He actually does look a bit like, but it's been a bit controversial. Steve Evans denied that he'd reported it to the police. He said Stuart had, but a Gillingham based journalist took a photo of Steve Evans sat beside the pitch with a police officer giving a report just after the game. And then when a Rotherham journalist brought it up with him in his latest press conference, he banished him from the press conference and has now banned him from the club. So clearly Steve Evans is doing his normal PR game.
He's
doing a great job of it.
He is good at that.
But
I was there last night, by the way, watching Tottenham.
You were there last night,
I was.
You went to the game?
Yeah. It was, managed to get a ticket. Through a friend of a friend, obviously, who couldn't go because of you can't get a fucking ticket anyway. But yeah, I was right behind the goal. I'm sorry, I was right behind Kirikez.
Yeah.
No, who phoned? Who took the? Was it Kirikez who took the throw, or was it Norton that took the throw in to Kirikez, who then fucked it up? By the way, I can't remember. I was still too busy in shock. But yeah, it was interesting to see. We actually attacked and created chances, but unfortunately.
Well, Christian Eriksen was brilliant, wasn't he?
Oh, he was fantastic. Yeah, he set up. We set up the first two and then scored the third. I think he probably had a hand in one of the other two as well. He was fantastic. He's one of. I mean, I can't see him leaving. I don't think.
Not this summer.
But not this summer.
But
because,
in the future, maybe.
But yeah, well, absolutely in the future. He's a wonderful player, but he's one that I'd obviously want to keep the most. But yeah, you know, it was very obvious to see that it was a great chance for Sunderland to go for the jugular against a Tottenham team that's in a bit of a shambles.
But
what, at the
one thing has done for Tottenham is massively improved your goal difference, which still looks significantly worse than the rest of the top
we're still
six.
Not, we're still not. We're
I think we're on one now.
Yes, we're out of the negative numbers. Yeah. Yes.
At least for this week.
Well, yeah.
But now, speaking of fantastic performances, have you seen the goal by Kike Cubas?
I have not.
He plays for Arosa in the Spanish fourth tier, because they go down to regional leagues.
Right.
It's on the BBC website. We're not going to tweet a link because it is on the BBC website. Go look it up. It's on the homepage at the moment. It is Diego Maradona Mexico 86-esque. And
really?
Not the handball go. Basically, he picks up the ball in his own half, beats three defenders, two of which he jinks past, one of which he knocks it past and uses pace. Completely wrong foots the goalkeeper. That's it. It is fantastic. His team Arosa went on to beat Cultural Areas, which I'm sure is how they pronounce out there, 2-1. Absolutely fantastic goal. I recommend you looking it up. Speaking of fantastic goals in lower league,
you can't tenuous link your own link.
I'm going to.
You can't tenuous link.
I've just come back, so I don't know what you're talking about.
But he went.
We're talking about fantastic goals. Do you know any fantastic goals?
I've actually seen quite a few fantastic goals.
Well, speaking of fantastic goals, Worksop. They play in the EvoStick Northern Premier. They're currently fourth behind Chorley, FC United and Fylde. And they have the most unbelievable goal record you will see in the leagues this season.
Why is it unbelievable?
In 41 games, they have scored 114 goals.
Wow.
They have conceded 80 goals.
Wow.
An average score of 3-2.
Are they playing the old 3... Four.
They're playing the old. 12. I think three, the 119. I think. But,
the 119.
Unbelievable. I think they drew 4-4 at the weekend. I'm not sure what it is. They've got a goal scorer who Jim looked up on Twitter. I can't remember his name, but we'll find him. We'll follow him and we'll retweet him.
We'll get him down for a show.
Yeah, from Worksop. Yeah. I'm sure he'll be up for it on a Tuesday lunchtime.
Easy.
But yeah, just.
Buy him a few beers for a pound.
The old school more goals than you. Oh, remember, you weren't here last week. Were you here last week?
No.
You weren't here last week. Motherfuckers.
I've got something to ask you about last week.
Okay.
It was the week before, you've got to ask him about
I mentioned about a team, one of the lads that played for me on a Saturday, and about his other team. Spaniards and Real, and how there was a massive, massive fight between the two, and it was. Anyway, the listeners will know because they heard. There was more scandal and more Saturday League football this year. This weekend. Sorry, I for the first time in a good few weeks, I didn't go down with my six pack of Stella Cedro.
Nice.
Didn't make it this time, but what I did hurt our poor centre back, who is literally the most model citizen you've ever met in your life. He's the one that has a go at us if we leave a Lucozade bottle and we haven't picked it up and put it in the bin in the park. I mean, he's
man after my own heart.
He is an absolute gent. We were 2-0 down to the league leaders, needs to win it to stay in the title race.
Oh no, what's he gone and done?
No, it was what was done to him. It's disgusting, I tell you. Geezer's come on up front.
Was it Gary Goat?
It wasn't Gary Goals. Oh. It wasn't. Oh, fucking Gary Goals.
Oh, he's great. One
I miss Gary Goals. Anyway, and their number nine who's come on within about 5 minutes of coming on as backhanded Big George into the mouth and knocked out his two front teeth.
Oh, and but at least he knows what he wants for Christmas now.
Absolutely, and it's been, but it's now gone to, it's got to the point where it was that much, it was assault. So he's been.
Yeah, I was going to say, has it been reported?
Yeah, he's been he's been charged with GBH.
Was he registered in the league or was he a ringer?
So yeah, what, no, he's registered in the league.
Was it a purposeful or was it a Marouane Fellaini?
This is the problem. A lot of the time, things like this happen, and it turns out the player who's playing isn't even registered to play for the fucking team. They've just come in and played for him.
No, I'm pretty sure he is.
That's really good.
That was it because it was the captain's brother. And they tried. They tried to play it down. But
did he get sent off?
Yeah.
And he's, did
and
you
he's
win?
He's going to sue the bastard. Sorry. Yeah. And we turned around to win 5-2.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah. So we're still in the title race.
I remember when I used to play seven a side for the fantastic name Shambles United. We lived up to our name very well. We were playing against.
What was your goals record like?
I scored 3 goals across 2 seasons. But
how many of them were own goals?
No, I scored 2 own goals, but they were when I was filling in as goalkeeper. Filling in as goalkeeper 3 times, once in a friendly, twice in the league.
And you threw the ball in the back of your own net.
No, one was I jumped to punch it, got shoved, and it hit my heel and went in. The other was I went down in instalments to try and save a shot. I hit the post, rebounded off the back of my head, and went in.
Oh,
bear in mind, I was the player manager of this team, so I didn't play that often. I was usually.
More tactics.
And we didn't do very well from that, so you know.
Right.
But we were playing a team called 1892 Lostock, so named after the Liverpool were formed. They beat us 15-1, but my mate Matty Parton
scored the one.
He didn't score the one, he got his front teeth knocked out by a shot.
By a shot?
Must have been a bit of a thunderbolt.
Bloody hell.
Yeah.
He knocked his front teeth out, he was completely dazed, my mum took him to hospital. Good old
Joe. We could have put George's. I've got a picture of George's front teeth missing. We could put that as a show photo, but it's a bit graphic.
Yeah. Well, we had that picture at that time of Jim's tooth, didn't we? Do you remember Jim's tooth came out?
Talking of Jim. Jim's asked us to kindly cast ourselves back to 2 weeks ago.
Right. Yeah.
Do you know what this might be about? Apparently, you and Jim had a heated discussion. So I haven't done a show for a few weeks.
It wasn't even that heated. Jim just likes to build things up to wind Dan up.
Yeah. He doesn't think anyone knows anything about football, does he? But he did ask us to bring up the Steven Gerrard if he gets another yellow card before the 13th of April.
Yeah.
That he'll serve a 2-match ban.
Right.
Before the end of the season.
Right.
So did you disagree?
Before the first weekend of April. Last weekend of April. Second weekend of April.
Jim was insistent that they'd been struck off. You said he was wrong. Turns out you're wrong, and that's what Jim wanted to mention.
Right.
Because Gerrard got booked at the weekend but won't be suspended.
And who's he playing at the weekend?
They're playing West Ham. So he would have been suspended, but it's the start of April website. See, this is the kind of intense stuff that really makes the podcast.
It is.
So it was the first weekend in April. Is that what it was?
Yes.
There you go.
The egg on your fucking face.
I'm so devastated.
Dan, your face has changed colour.
I'm gutted.
Speaking of devastated, I am sure that Hibs on loan striker Danny Haynes is devastated at the moment.
What?
Because
about what?
He plays for Notts County. He's had a bit of a story career. He played for Ipswich, played for Chelsea, played for a few other clubs. But he's on loan in Scotland at the moment. He's rented out his house in Ipswich. So far, so good. Earn a bit of money while you're away. Why not? Unfortunately, the people he's rented it to have turned it into a cannabis factory.
Oh no! What are they doing?
You say unfortunately.
Well, unfortunately for Danny Haynes.
Well, it sounds like they've been caught.
Oh yeah.
They have been caught.
Oh, true. We probably wouldn't know.
I think it was 52
plants.
You'd
never know about it otherwise, would you?
52 plants.
52 plants. That must fucking stink.
Yeah. He's never going to get the smell out of it. But
no, that's right. It goes after a little while.
Allegedly. There's no suggestion that Danny Haynes was involved, though.
Or is it the perfect crime?
Maybe.
Could be.
Or is it the perfect crime?
Maybe he's leaving hints, like playing for Hibs who wear green.
True.
Yeah. That's the only hint I can think of. Right. Yeah.
Guys, has anyone looked at the fixtures tonight?
The fixtures.
Other than the Champions League?
No.
No.
Well, in League One, it's pretty big. It's pretty big. It's make or break sort of
thing. For you, maybe.
Well, not just us. It's pretty big for Sheffield United. Pretty big for Rotherham tonight.
Sheffield.
Hopefully, it's not that big for Crawley. Crawley are visiting us. as things stand at the moment, 3 points would really, really sort us out. And at the same time, Rotherham have been breathing down our necks and probably the informed team in League One. If they drop points against Sheffield United away tonight, then I think Wolves and Brentford would probably be the two teams to get automatic promotion. Having said that,
oh, Leicester,
if you play for Sheffield United,
we've not even mentioned Leicester.
If you play for Sheffield United, you've got one eye on the weekend's games, haven't you? And that something I would,
is that this weekend, the FA Cup semi-final?
And the same for, so Wigan are at home tonight and they're playing, I can't remember who they're playing, but
that'll be all
again
right.
You know, Wigan and Sheffield United at the weekend, I mean, you would hate to, in a midweek game, when you're playing one of your games in hand, you know, the boss makes you in the starting 11 and you're worried about getting injured for the weekend. I mean, that's going to be a
bit of a worry, isn't
it? Can
you imagine if it's a Wigan versus Sheffield United FA Cup final?
I'd love it.
It'd be great, but it would be the least watched FA Cup final ever.
Probably.
Guaranteed. Yeah.
Well, to be honest, even if Hull make it in, it's not going to change things, is it? Wigan didn't even sell their ticket allocation.
No. Well, they didn't last year. They only did for final. Although,
so you sort of need Arsenal in it.
To be fair, I remember talking to some Wigan fans, because I obviously live up near Wembley, before and after the final, because I got the tube into town, watched the game in town, then got the tube back, and there was loads of Wigan fans on there. And they were saying, well, it's a rugby town and most people don't want to have to come down to London for an FA Cup semi-final, an FA Cup final and the Challenge Cup, which we can win last year.
So it
makes it very...
I'll tell you what, it's fucking out of order as well, putting Sunderland away to fucking Spurs on a Monday night as well.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they're not... I think we actually spoke to one Sunderland fan and his son getting the train back from Northumberland Park down to Tottenham Hale, then getting the tube.
Yeah.
And my old man went, "You're not going back to Sunderland tonight." He went, no, tomorrow. It's obviously because he stayed with his son and been able to go back. But I mean, you know, I don't get home. I live in southwest London. Obviously, I'm in like
midnight
northern London.
If you're lucky.
Oh, well, about half 11 I got home. Half 11. That was getting across London. Imagine having to travel back to Sunderland, if it's even possible.
Well, Daniel, on this, spare a thought for the 27 Crawley fans who travelled to Port Vale away week before last.
What day?
So, it was a Tuesday night.
Yeah.
Tuesday night. So Crawley, I mean, it would have been a great away day for those 27 fans. I don't know if it was mentioned on a show, maybe it wasn't, but...
I clapped
those 27 Crawley fans who did the trip to Port Vale. I've done that trip to Port Vale. Not midweek. I've done it at the weekend.
Speaking of controversial clubs in League One.
And they lost.
Dan, it is a question for you. There was talk in the paper about Tottenham planning for redeveloping White Hart Lane or moving to the new stadium. And talk of what they'll do in the season in between. And the stadium suggested...
It's 16 to 17.
16-17. So Wembley might be one that you'll play some games at.
Mm-hmm.
Was
West Ham's been... Upton Park's been given the elbow. That's what I mean.
Yeah. But also MK Dons.
Really?
Yeah, Stadium MK was mentioned for playing some of your games there.
I thought they weren't a real football club.
But what's the capacity?
It's over 20.
It's something like 25,000. I think it's growing because they've got some Rugby World Cup games in 2015.
Well, they were in the English World Cup bid, weren't they?
Well, they weren't in the English World Cup bid. They weren't in the football bid. They were in Bristol was and another lower league team.
There was someone lower league.
Yeah, Bristol. It was Bristol.
Are you sure?
Yes, certain, because that would have been a massive controversy.
Has that come out today?
No, it was a couple of days ago. I think it was Monday. So yesterday. But all the days merge into one.
I'm sure Arsenal would ground share with you.
Well, yeah, that was an April Fool's joke last week, wasn't it?
Yeah, why not? Emirates, fine, we're fine.
But that's what, 60 miles outside London, Milton Keynes?
Yeah,
we've got to play the Vicarage Road for those games. At Watford or... I mean, anywhere, play at Orient, play at Barnet.
Yeah.
Actually, on Spurs...
Well, not
so,
Barnet. You know, four people in there.
So,
play at Brentford's big new stadium. They're not going to fucking fill it.
Well, wait until we're in 2015. You never know. We might be in the Premiership, mate.
Do you know what?
We might be in the Premiership.
We could well be.
Stop it.
The Premier League next season. Bournemouth.
Stop it.
Bournemouth
are doing amazingly in Champions League. I really hope they...
Anyhow, I'll take my hat off.
Norwich is a bomb. Inside and... and insight. Sorry, in teams. My old man has got, as I've said before, has got very good connections with Brighton Hove Albion. He's the accountant for quite a few of the players and coaches, etc., etc. He is mates with, and I've really, this is the bit where it kind of my story sort of fails, but the guy's name, I can't remember, he's ex-Brighton,
probably good that you're not mentioning
Palace.
His name anyway.
Yeah, maybe that. Maybe it probably is a good thing.
So he's not popular in Brighton or Croydon.
He's an ex-pro, and he's also got quite, he used to work closely with, I think it was QPR, he used to work with, he used to know Les Ferdinand, and he used to know... one of the other,
for the sake of argument, let's call him John Sulaco.
John Sulaco. You know him as well. And it was because my old man.
By the way, I don't know if it is.
It's not John Sulaco. My old man was getting was asking. He said, obviously, yeah, if you've known, yeah, you know, and he's still friends with Les Ferdinand and Co. This character.
One would hope.
And my old man turned around to him. My old man's getting more and more frustrated with Alan Lennon as the days, weeks, months go on. He's Ed. Why are you not playing Andros Townsend? And I find it, because I think this
on
is the things,
bench again last night.
Well, this
it?
Is the thing, and this is the thing that we don't know as fans, and like what goes on behind closed doors. Supposedly, Andros Townsend is a little fucking shit, like a right shit. Apparently, if he's on the bench, apparently he's got one of the biggest egos in the game.
Yeah.
Apparently, he said if he's on the bench, he sat there the whole time. The gaffer's ear, apparently, going, "Boss, why am I not on the pitch? What am I not on? Come on yet?
Are we near there?
Apparently,
but is he doing it in
most,
a jokey way?
No, apparently, yeah. Apparently, he's a proper little shit. Because to me, he's obviously got the talent. And I think Lennon has not been on form this season. And when Andros Townsend has come on, he's created something and made something happen. And he's a young Englishman. And obviously, we know how much Sherwood loves his young English talent. So why is he not playing him? And supposedly, I said, and this is very reliable information. Allegedly.
He's a little shit.
Because he's got a real attitude problem, which could really hinder. So I will actually put a statement down saying Andros Townsend will not be on the plane, because I reckon if he knows he's got an attitude problem,
he's not
playing
well enough.
He's not
getting enough football.
Well, he's
not playing. I'll tell
you what though, he might not be on the plane, but he's in the sticker book. The official Panini sticker book. He's in there. First time in years, Sean Wright Phillips isn't in there. I can't believe it. He's in there every year. I've got about 12 swaps for him already.
Is he still playing for QPR?
Oh, God knows. God
but knows. On the plus side of Andros Townsend not being on the plane, hopefully that means Lallana will be.
I think
he's in the first 11.
Lallana should be starting.
I don't think he will be starting.
I think he fucking should. I think he's probably the best informed player we've got at the moment.
My only
him
concern,
and Gerrard. Gerrard looks fantastic at the moment.
My only concern.
I think he looks better at the moment. Lallana's form is better than Gerrard's at the moment.
My
only concern with Lallana is there have been so many players down the years who have done really well at smaller clubs, and I'm talking about the likes of Sean Wright Phillips, say Ashley Young at Aston Villa, James Milner at Aston Villa, and everyone said they look brilliant, they're the fun player. Stuart Downing at Middlesbrough. Going into the 2006 World Cup, when Middlesbrough got to the UEFA Cup final, he was touted as brilliant. Everyone was happy he was on
I'm
the plane.
I'm glad you don't support England.
No,
I'm glad.
I'm not saying he's a good
German
player.
Shirt
I'm not
Fuck
saying,
off, Coxon.
I'm not saying he's a good player. What I'm saying is, in the World Cup, people were talking about how great he was, how he was a left-sided option. I'd be surprised if you
I wasn't. I hate it. I've never, ever, ever, ever liked
Maybe
that.
Maybe not.
Always
what
been
I'm
a
talking about
shit.
Is the general consensus.
No, but I'm talking about my opinion.
People have this,
I'm
and
talking
these
about
players
my opinion.
Go
and,
there.
Yes, but most football
on,
fans
let,
are
let,
stupid.
Let, okay, let, let,
let's
let,
go
let,
to base. Rather, you've talked
Don't
wrong.
Shout
let's,
any look.
Let's go to base.
Let him say it.
So many of these players at smaller clubs.
We know what you've just said.
Can I just talk?
You've said it.
Can I just talk?
You've said it.
I'm making a point here.
You've already made it.
No, I haven't. I haven't made the point you're making.
You've not let him.
So many of these players.
Oh, you can fucking talk.
Will you shut the fuck up?
No.
So
they look better in smaller teams. We get the point.
So many of these players look better
oh,
in
you've
smaller teams.
It
yes, I have. Because you won't shut the fuck up. So many of these players look
you've
better in smaller teams and look
over
out
again.
Of depth when they go to a tournament. And
you
that's
said that
my
10 minutes ago.
Lallana.
You said that 10
no,
minutes ago.
No, I tried to say it 10 minutes ago and you didn't
ago.
Shut
All
up.
Alright, so lads, what I will say on Lallana is I think he just.
I'm going to do a coxswain,
so
I want to speak into it myself.
Than any of the players you just
100%.
Mentioned. 100%. Other than, look, Milner.
He does at the moment.
Milner's a really good player out of the ones that you just mentioned, but Lallana just is different class. Different
you
class.
You say that now, but Ashley Young won Young Player of the Year. He was in the Premier League Team of the Year.
But no one's ever really talked about Ashley Young like that. Only people who don't know the game properly.
In 2011, Ashley Young played really well for England, and then he went terrible as soon as he joined United. But
I think Lallana's got at least another season to prove himself, but at the moment we've got
no other options.
And by all means, I think he should go. I'd love to see him get a chance.
Especially with Walcott not being fit, you know.
I'd
start with the Ox.
My favourite player, Barkley. Fuck it.
I wouldn't start by. I'd start the Ox.
I love Barkley.
Barkley's a great.
We're talking about wings here, surely. No. Lallana's going to play out wide.
If you're talking about midfield,
Hodgson is going to play out wide.
I'd play midfield three. I'd play Oxlade-Chamberlain, Gerrard.
You play Oxlade-Chamberlain in the middle.
Yeah. And then
I suppose only because you'd have to play because you couldn't because you'd have to play
Rooney.
Then the
problem is you're playing Rooney up front on his own.
Depending on the game,
and you don't want to do that. You want to play Rooney in the hole.
No. If you bloody hell, this is the
off who?
I would play. Look, I would.
You've
play
talked a lot. You've talked a hell of a lot. You're getting aggy. You've actually spoken the most out of everyone by a mile.
I think
yes,
I've been.
Have
I definitely
show.
Haven't.
Yes, you have. Well, you know, I've been pretty quiet.
I think I can hold my hands up on this.
You've actually spoken the most by a long while.
I would play Gerrard, Oxlade-Chamberlain, and depending on the game, one of your Carrick or Henderson, or maybe your Lallana.
Yeah.
And then I would play with your Rooney, Sturridge, and Welbeck as the front three. Because it's worked in the past.
I don't think you can have. I don't think you can play Rooney, Welbeck, and Sturridge. And
why not? Be positive.
Will you let me finish, Michael? I'm trying to explain what I'm saying. I don't think you can play. Whoa, no, that's not cool.
Hey, come on.
No, oh, boo.
I'm uncomfortable silence, sir.
I don't think you can.
I don't.
sorry, that's really bad. I'm sorry.
Okay, guys, please.
I don't think you can play.
As unprofessional as we are.
Sturridge. Fucking hell. I don't think you can play really Sturridge, Welbeck.
Drop your C-bomb in, why don't you?
And the little fella, Oxlade-Chamberlain. I don't think you can have. I think that's too many sort of wingers slash.
Yeah, no, I get your
I don't
point,
think you
yeah.
can play. I think you need a bit more solidity if you're going to play. Yeah. Those sort of players.
I also really do think.
We love it. Let's just wrap it
up. This is my favourite show.
Let's just wrap it up. We've lost
Melbourne
the
Heart.
Yeah,
Melbourne Heart. Should we just go to Melbourne Heart?
Yeah, let's just go to Melbourne.
Can you make it pretty short and to the point?
Oh, yeah. They were 1-0 down. They came back. They were winning 2-1 away to Adelaide United. In the 94th minute, the bastards got an equaliser. Fuck you, Adelaide United.
That's pretty
one
much
game to go.
Yeah, yeah.
I know, they already ran off.
Yeah, but
next season.
We've moved up the league a little bit, so yeah. So
you too.
That's
bloody
it.
Hell.
For quite a fun show. Certainly, if you.
Jesus.
I think I might recommend if anyone listens, they just listen to the last 5 minutes.
Ten.
To apologise for anyone that downloads the show today.
I'm sure if anyone is offended, of course we're truly sorry. Everything that ever said on this show is in jest.
So next week we're going to come back. We're going to say that Chelsea and Man United have qualified for the next
Champions
round.
Champions League tonight.
Yeah. Chelsea
we've
United will have qualified.
Congratulated Leicester.
Who won that
Leicester? How long has it been since they've been in the Premier League?
10 years.
10 years.
I like Leicester. Good club.
Nigel Pearson, great, a good
foxes.
Footballer and a good manager.
I like foxes.
Yeah. My mum used to live next door to
I don't want foxes.
I like foxes.
Oh, no. If you got foxes.
I like foxes. I
live anywhere near
when
where you
fucking.
Are.
Oh. No, okay, I don't like foxes.
He's got a spiky penis, isn't he?
Has he?
Yeah, and it's.
Have you seen it up close?
No, but this is why you hear that horrible noise.
Because it's got a spiky penis.
Yeah, but it's not just a spiky penis. It's like, you know, animals that have got a nasty. A nasty jaw.
I thought we were going to wrap this up.
And when they bite on you, the teeth go in like that.
What, and it locks in?
Yeah, it's got like a lot.
Why do you know so much about foxes' penises and intercourse?
Let's talk about this after we wrap the show up.
Yeah, anyway, so just when you thought this show couldn't get any more degrading.
Foxes have spiky penises.
Well done.
Well, there's a
well done, the foxes.
For us this week. Yeah. But, so lovely show this week. You know the usual, email us banter@footballpodcast.co.uk, facebook.com/thefootballpodcast. We're on Twitter @footballpodcast, and of course visit footballpodcastonline.wordpress.com. next week we'll be back, and we haven't decided whether we'll be sexist or racist.
Yeah, we'll work out who we're insulting next week. A little bit later on.
Take care,
Russell Slade. Good luck.